if a believer gets confused and buys into work salvation, he can't lose his salvation. But what he will do is he will fall from the experience of God's favor, his grace. And the result is there are many born-again people today who are not enjoying their status as children of God because they've been duped by false teachers.
Welcome to another week of Grace in Focus from Grace Evangelical Society. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and my hope is that you'll join us every weekday at the same time. We're about midway through our current series, Confident in Christ. This is also the title of a book written by discussion leader Bob Wilkin. I would love for you to learn more about who we are and why we are here, and I'll talk to you more about that at the end of the program. Let me ask you a question. Is your version of salvation a version that includes works? By the way, there are many of these, but do you think there is a to-do list to either become a saved person or to remain a saved person? Well, here is Grace in Focus for today.
Welcome. This is Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
I want to talk today about salvation by works. I used to be part of the Russian Orthodox Church, if you can believe it. I joined the Russian Orthodox Church, and I was having a conversation one day with one of the priests about salvation by works. I asked him if he believed in salvation by works, and he denied it. He said, absolutely not. I do not believe it. That is absolutely wrong. But then over a course of a year and a half, just about every single Sunday, he would say things like, unless you're good, you're never going to see God. Unless you're good, you won't go to heaven. You have to do this. You have to do that. And there's a long list of things to do. And after about a year and a half, it finally sunk in. I think he does believe in work salvation.
Right.
And so I sat down and I had a talk with him, and it was probably a 6 or 7 hour talk.
Wow.
It was exhausting. We went back and forth and back and forth, and somehow we were just kind of two ships passing in the night. We weren't quite connecting until finally it hit me. He was defining work salvation in a very specific way. He thought I was asking, does God at the end of your life weigh your good deeds and weigh your bad deeds and save you only if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds? He thought that's what I was asking. And he said, absolutely not. That's not how it works. However, you do need to do good works in order to go to heaven when you die. And he didn't think that was work salvation. So here's my point, and here's my question. Bob, do you think there are more than one version of work salvation by works in Christianity today?
Oh, sure. I mean, how many denominations do we have? And with these denominations, many of them believe you can lose everlasting life, so they believe in some form of work salvation. Many of them believe you can prove you never had it in the first place, so they believe in some form of work salvation. I grew up in a sinless perfection group, which was an extreme lordship salvation, work salvation kind of group. The group I was in was so extreme that it taught when you were born again, you had to live a sinless life in order to stay saved. And if you committed one sin after the new birth, you lost your salvation and could never get it back.
Mm.
So you were doomed if you said a cuss word or lit up a cigarette or did anything that was sinful after you were born again. It was over for you. So they had a very loose view of what sin was. In other words, not loose view, but they had a view that very little was sin.
Right. So it seems to me that the bar for salvation by works is extremely low. Paul in Galatians gives the example of circumcision.
Right.
And he says, if you teach that we are saved by faith plus circumcision, that is another gospel. That is a false gospel. This hit home for me when my son was born. When he was about a week old, he got sick. He got a fever. He was languishing. He wasn't eating. So we brought him to the hospital. $10,000 later in the NICU, turns out he had a UTI and it just cost a $35 pill. But I was talking to the doctor, and the doctor was telling us about the benefits of circumcision. He was describing the process for us. Basically, it takes about 10 minutes. It's over in 10 minutes. It's just a removal of a little piece of skin. It takes about a week to recover. And then after that week, science has shown that there's a ton of health benefits. So as the doctor was explaining this to me, as a theology nerd, I, of course, started thinking about Galatians. And it hit me what little of a work it is to require someone to be circumcised. One, again, it's a one-time event. It takes less than 10 minutes. Someone else is doing it to you. You're not doing it to yourself. In fact, you're probably just fighting it and you're screaming and crying about it. You're not even going to remember that it happened. Half the population doesn't need to do it. And if you do do it, there's a ton of health benefits. You might want to do it anyways. And Paul is saying, if you add even such a small one-time work to the condition of salvation, you are teaching a false gospel. And so here we are, and there's all kinds of churches. Think of all the lists, the to-do lists that all these churches have that tell you, you need to do this in order to be saved.
No, that's exactly right. And you know, what comes with circumcision under the Judaizers of Galatia was not simply the circumcision, but it was also what was behind it, a commitment to keeping the law of Moses. So Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, you observe days and months and seasons and years, and I fear I've run among you in vain. Basically, they were adopting the worship calendar of Israel, and they were practicing the Sabbath and many other things. But you're right. Even if it was only the external rite, even that is a work. And remember in Galatians 5:4, you have fallen from grace, you who seek to be justified by law. If a believer gets confused and buys into work salvation, he can't lose his salvation. But what he will do is he will fall from the experience of God's favor, his grace. And the result is there are many born-again people today who are not enjoying their status as children of God because they've been duped by false teachers.
And that false teaching builds, I think, on a good motivation. The good motivation is to do good works. But they use that good motivation to a wrong end by putting it at the beginning of the Christian life as a condition of salvation.
Exactly. And it's dishonoring to God, because ultimately it means that Jesus didn't pay at all. We have to pay something. We have to contribute to our own salvation.
Right. So it's really denying the finality and sufficiency of the work of Christ. And it's saying, well, Jesus did, you know, even 99%, but you need to do your 1% in order to make it stick.
When you were talking to the priest, regardless of how many works he said you had to do, and I assume it was vague, and even if he says your good deeds didn't need to outweigh your bad deeds, the truth is there were a certain amount of good deeds that had to be done in order to gain entrance into the kingdom. And so no matter how well-intentioned he was teaching a form of work salvation.
Right. And one of the Paul's points, I think, is, and you brought this up earlier, you know, it doesn't matter how many works you kind of add to your faith. If you add even one, that is the path that you've chosen. You've just chosen to do a work salvation path. And we have a choice. We can either live by grace or we can live by law and works. And Paul says Christians should live by grace. Grace is what motivates us to do good.
This reminds me of a book by a man named Thomas F. Torrance, a church historian. He wrote a book called The Doctrine of Grace in the Apostolic Fathers. And the Apostolic Fathers were the people who wrote after the apostles in the first 1, 2, 3, 4 centuries. And he said to a man, they lost the concept of grace. They no longer believed that we're saved by grace through faith apart from works. The result was the early church was very much into work salvation and legalism. And it wasn't until the Reformation that we had writings that clearly establish, no, that's not true. Now, I'm sure there were people until Luther came on the scene and then Calvin. There were many people who proclaimed by grace through faith apart from works, but any writings they had did not survive to today. Clearly, they were a minority position then, as now. Even today, if you look at all the different flavors of Christianity, no matter how well-intentioned they are, most of them are some form of work salvation.
Let's give some examples. There's some obvious ones, just like what I mentioned with the priest. If someone teaches that your good deeds need to outweigh your bad deeds, only then can you be saved. That's an obvious form of work salvation. Here's something that's not as obvious. What about someone who says, you need to believe, but you also need to be water baptized in order to be saved? Is that a form of work salvation?
to me, it is a form of work salvation because faith is not enough.
Right. What about someone who says, well, if you really believe, we're not saved by faith plus works, but if you really believe, your faith will work. Is that work salvation?
In my estimation, it's a form of work salvation, but it really depends on what the person is thinking. If the person really thinks what you're saying there, that if you really believe you're going to work, then they don't believe salvation is by faith alone. Ultimately, anything you say that must occur for you to get into the kingdom becomes a condition if it's something you need to do.
So let's think of another kind of more subtle form of work salvation. You don't need to do works to be saved, but if you don't do them, that proves you were never saved to begin with. Is that a form of work salvation?
Yes. If you say, if you don't have works, you prove you weren't saved in the first place, my response would be, well, of course, everybody has works. Unbelievers have good works. Believers have good works. In Isaiah 64:6, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That means there are righteous deeds that unbelievers and believers do, but they have no merit with God. And it seems to me when people say, well, you've got to have good works, I'd say, well, fine, everybody has good works, but how many? Mm-hmm. For how long? Mm-hmm. Do they have to persevere in them? And once you move down that road, you've moved away from faith alone, and you've really undermined the work of Christ.
So if you're going to uphold the work of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ's work, you really need to believe in faith alone. And when you say alone, it can't be qualified. It really is faith apart from anything else. It's really faith all on its own, receiving eternal life with no other conditions, no other co-conditions, no other behavioral changes required. It really is sola fide.
Right. And my only caveat would be this. If a person believes in Jesus for everlasting life and does not live for God, he is going to reap, or she is going to reap, the consequences in this life. And if they don't repent after God starts working in their life, God will take them home prematurely, and they will one day appear at the judgment seat of Christ and be evaluated. So all I'm saying is this: if a person believes in Jesus Christ and is not living for Christ, they're going to reap the consequences now and at the judgment seat of Christ.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for teaching us what it means to have either a works version of salvation or to have a grace version of salvation. The grace position requires faith alone. We can have assurance about our eternal salvation simply by believing in Christ. This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We hope that you will make it a daily habit to join us at this same time, Monday through Friday. We'd love to interact with you, and our goal is for you to know us better. Please take a moment to visit faithalone.org. At faithalone.org, you can sign up for our bi-monthly free magazine. It's called Grace in Focus, the same as this radio broadcast. There's no cost or obligation. It is a free subscription. You can also leave an email comment or question for us at radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. On tomorrow's broadcast, when we speak of eternal salvation, are we speaking only of something that will happen in the future? When does it happen, or start to happen? When does it become a securely established possession? Some questions we'll answer next time. So until then, let's keep grace in focus.